When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. All right, now, sitting across from me, as usual, well, it's usual again now, since he's back in the saddle. And, of course, what's also usual is he's doing something else. Rather than paying attention to me.
I'm always paying attention.
See, that would be Animal World's co-producer and call screener, Gary Hills. Here, good morning, Gary.
See, the important thing that you have to know about what I do is, see, if I'm looking at you while you're talking, I don't get the appropriate sound of the show in the headset. Because it's all about the sound. And it throws me off if I'm looking at you. I don't feel I get the right sound, so I have to look away to get the appropriate sound to make sure all the levels are correct.
No, I don't think so.
It's so fundamental to my job. That's
what's up now? Your hair. Remember, you were freshly coiffed. It still looks like you just got a fresh haircut. But what's with the face? Are we growing?
The face?
Yeah.
Oh, that's laziness.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're not growing a beard?
No. That's being lazy.
It looks like you've been lazy for a while.
Yeah, it's been a few days.
A week at least.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. Well, as I continue, you'll know that this laughter is coming from spirit on purpose because I need some laughter. Because I have something to tell you about that I'm not real wild about telling you about here in a moment, but I will. But at any rate, so sometime you'll shave, huh?
Yeah, probably today. Okay. Not during the show.
Well, and another reason that you are more distracted than you have been in the past, doing your job, multitasking, as you say, is because you now have a live show to do yourself on Sundays.
Yeah. That's been kind of fun. I like having it on Sundays now.
Yeah? Yeah? Makes your job a little easier, and you don't have to be here twice?
Yes. Which is nice.
Because Gary does a sports show, Sports Tangle, and it used to air Monday evenings.
It still does.
Oh, it still does?
The repeat.
An encore presentation,
yeah,
as they say?
That.
An encore presentation.
Well, you're really good at dressing
Monday.
Things up today.
Yeah.
First shows are what at the station?
What did I say? I asked Helen and Bill Thayer are here, of course, in the studio. I asked them if they, I asked you if you wanted to go to our refreshment lounge.
Yes,
And Gary's
lounge.
Like, jaw hit the floor and said, what? Where are you taking them? I was like, is there a new room that I don't know about? Well, I thought that was a nice thing to call it.
I thought it was the room with a vending machine. That's what I thought it was.
Well, I think technically, isn't it the lunchroom? The employee lunchroom or something?
I guess.
But the refreshment lounge, doesn't that sound better?
That sounds nice.
Very elegant.
Yeah. Since we don't have a green room, we have a table in the hall. Oh, well. Okay. So, Gary's here, and... Man, it's a cloudy day here in the great Northwest, but the sun is supposed to come out, but we've got nothing but sunshine in the other room. The lights are on, and that would mean that Sandy's not here. So I guess That's what I was leading up to. I got some disturbing news last evening. As you regulars know, Sandy Gaston, Animal World's co-producer and call screener, she has not been doing well this last few months. She's had a lot of health problems and other stuff going on in her life, and her attendance here at the show has been rather flaky, to say the least. And we want to do our best to support her, but I got an email from her yesterday evening, and she let me know that she just is doing so poorly that she needs to take a break. And so she won't be here with us, at least for the next couple months or so. We hope that she will return, but at this point, who knows? So I would very much like y'all to say some prayers. Keep Sandy Gaston in your prayers and your good thoughts, and we'll hope that she has the time that she needs to do what she needs to do and recovers and comes back to join us. But the other side of that coin is, thank goodness that I listened and started hauling my Cat Run Guy. Scotty Cat Run Guy Robertson is here taking Sandy's plates, and he doesn't need the mood lighting, so we actually can see him in the other studio. So I guess this is our official welcoming. Scotty Cat Run Guy Robertson is now an official part of the Animal World family and will be answering the phones and screening calls for Sandy in her absence. So thank you for being here, Scotty. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Martha. Good morning, Gary. And good morning to our special guests, Helen and Bill.
Yeah, we do have special guests, and I'll get to that in a moment as well. At any rate, Gary's here. Scotty's here, and I warned, didn't I tell you? Since I get in the studio and I want to call Scotty Gary, because I'm so programmed to call in the guy in the radio studio, Gary, that, you know, Scotty's in a guy suit, so I get, you know, I am older, you know, Helen, how that goes, and CRS comes in. We may have two Garys sometimes, but really it's Scotty and Gary, and their voices are pretty different, right? You can tell the difference. So Gary, say something.
Something.
Okay, Scotty.
Something.
Yeah, okay, I can tell the difference. Okay, hopefully you can too. All right, so that's our new Animal World family, and I'm just apologizing for anything that I say that I shouldn't say today, or for if I mess up the detail, Gary, because I just have to say, Sandy, I was not expecting this, and I was a little thrown by the email I got yesterday and Sandy's absence. What really threw me, because Helen and Bill Thayer, adventure travelers, are here with us, and you have are our all-time Animal World favorite guests and most popular guests with our listeners, and you're at your Sandy's all-time favorite guests, and she would never ever miss an opportunity to see you.
We miss
and
her
hear
too.
Your stories.
We miss her a lot.
Yeah, and you know, so the fact that she's not here when you're here, yeah, that says a lot. So please, God bless Sandy, and special blessings and special healings on all levels for her highest good. So, okay, let's see. So what are we doing today? Well, that may be in question, because I kind of got discombobulated after I got Sandy's email yesterday, and I sort of failed to finish all the details relating to the show today. So we're kind of just on cruise and automatic pilot for a while, and we'll see what happens. But I do know that we've got a big event going on today, so I've got a happening today event for you. I've got an alert about another exchange and a popular dog food you're going to want to hear about. Let's see. I had a pet special report scheduled for today, but I pushed that off till next week. Tell you about that later. We will do a very brief follow-up and animals in the news and current events, as usual, about 10:55 today. And then at 11 o'clock, we will run a tip, as we usually do. And it just occurred to me now, since Scotty's in the studio and he has nothing better to do than answer the phone, I'm going to give you the phone numbers for two reasons. One for what I'm going to tell you about now, and the second for our giveaway here in a moment. But Gary, I've got the summer tip scheduled for 11 o'clock. And, of course, I'm looking out the window and thinking that it sort of disappeared again. But according to the weather, it's supposed to, or the weather reports, it's supposed to be coming back. And this is supposed to burn off. So I've got the summer tip scheduled to run. But we actually have some options here and what tips we run each week on the show. And last week we had a request and I ran Martha's four-step flea plan. So we could do that instead. We could do the hot weather stuff. We can do the summer stuff. We could do Martha's four-step flea plan. So since Scotty's here and is just very excited to be answering the phone and talking to y'all, that if y'all have a preference as to what tip you'd like to hear, you could call Scotty and tell him, and as long as you call in before 11 o'clock and give us a chance to let Gary know what y'all would like to hear. If you'd rather hear fleas, or you'd rather hear hot weather or summer, tell us what you want to hear. If you have a special request, you can call Scotty. Is that okay with you, Gary? And you can be flexible at the last minute?
Sure.
Yeah.
I can do anything.
Cool.
They can email, too, if they want.
Yeah? Excellent.
To tell.
Oh, that's right. You could email Gary to tell him what tip you want him to play, and that would be using our live email address anytime during the show. But if you're emailing about the tip before 11 a.m., that would be animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Now, we are also opening the prize closet because Scotty now holds keys to the prize closet, which I should just tell you on the side here, y'all ought to be delighted because Scotty's a whole lot easier than Sandy. You know? I mean, he really had to work to talk her into a prize. You know, Scotty, I think, will be easier to convince that you should be rewarded with a prize. So we've got some follow-up last week. We are giving away, once again, a one-year free subscription to Robin Alexis's Soul Spa on her website, robinalexis.com. It is a $300 value. It's really a fabulous deal. You have direct access to Robin through her website, and she is one of the most gifted mystics and psychics and healers that I've ever met on the planet, and having a direct access to her is extremely valuable. She's also channeled through, there are four energy portals on her website that are incredibly healing and very powerful. Man, I just, after I got the news from Sandy last night, I always keep the Mary Magdalene portal open. But I switched it over to the Violet Flame portal, and holy mackerel, what a wallop. That is one powerful website, and does help with healing and so forth. So if you'd like to check it out, in order to qualify to win the free year subscription, you must not be a member of the Soul Spa already. If you are already a paying or free member of the Soul Spa, you're not eligible to win this prize. But if you're a new member, go to Robin's website, www.robinalexis.com. Check out her website, and you can read about her radio show, Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, and check out the Soul Spa. See if it's something that you would be interested in. And if you are, then you can call Scotty and talk him into giving this to you. And we will need some information from you, and it's critical that you give us accurate information. Otherwise, you have to listen to me say this the next week, which is, last week we congratulated Suzanne Babura on winning the 1 year's free subscription. And Scotty did a really nice job getting all her information and writing it down, and of course then I sent it off to Bob Bordenero at Mystic Radio for the giveaway. Promptly we found out the email address didn't work. It was not good. We called the phone number. Both Bob called and I called, and it had a little recording on it saying, the person you're trying to reach is not taking phone calls at this time. Please call again later. He couldn't leave a message, and that was the case all week. So we were unable to hook Suzanne up for her winning year's subscription. So Suzanne Babura, if you are listening, or if anyone out there knows Suzanne, will you please call her up and tell her to call Scotty, because we need correct information from her. And then whoever else would like to win the Soul Spa today, you can call. So you can tell us about the tip. You can win the Soul Spa. If you have questions, want to chat with our guests, Helen and Bill Thayer are here today. We'll have open phone lines for that as well. So here are the numbers. Jot them down in case you need them during the show. The local number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. That's 1-888-298-5569. And as I told you, the email address to reach us on the air is animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All right. Now, I did tell you, Helen and Bill Thayer are here, adventure travelers, and I will formally introduce you, and I'm going to tell you we're going back. We're doing all the details today. Because Scotty hasn't heard their whole story, and I want to impress him. Yeah. So anyway, okay. So we will do that in a little while. But right now, I got to tell you what's happening today. And actually, it's going to be a nice day to go out with your dog friends. Posado's Bark of Seattle is today at the Seattle Center. It is a huge event. You've heard us talking about it for the last couple weeks on the show. There is music all day. There's a fundraising dog walk. You can get photos with your dog. There are demonstrations for fly ball and agility. Over 100 vendors, a whole lot more. And remember, we found out last week they're actually opening the fountain to you and your dogs. Now, how cool is that? When I was the World's Fair was here and was a kid, they wouldn't let us kids play in that fountain. But today, you get to play in the fountain with your dogs. I mean, that's worth going for no other reason than to get into the fountain, I think. And the sun ought to be out by this afternoon. It is from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. I'm trying to remember. I know that there's some bands at the Mural Amphitheater, and there's stuff going around the fountain and the old Fun Forest. I think there's like three areas at the Seattle Center where the Bark of Seattle's going on. The old Fun Forest, around the fountain, and the Mural Amphitheater. That's pretty good for me remembering that. Yeah, not bad, Martha. Okay, so 11 to 6 p.m. today at the Seattle Center for Posado's Bark of Seattle. Hopefully you can get on out there. And, of course, you could be listening to Animal World while you're driving. And you can take your dog friend. How cool is that? Okay. All right, let's see. I guess I better, we'll do a little follow-up. Oh, here's the alert. Oh, this is just disappointing. Now, what I've got here is a mailing from a local pet store in our area with an announcement that they're discontinuing carrying a line of foods, and it was shocking to me, and I thought I better fill you in. But this particular store, it's a store that focuses on higher quality natural foods, and they sent out this email this week to alert their customers that they are discontinuing the Natura products, N-A-T-U-R-A products, which include, y'all recognize these names, California Natural, Innova, and Evo. They have become very popular all-natural foods. And this particular store is removing them from themselves. Here's why. The company was recently acquired by Procter & Gamble. Not a good thing. When Procter & Gamble purchased Iams and Eukanuba in the late 80s, they cheapened the ingredients listings while continuing to profit on the reputation of the foods they were destroying. Now, that's the pet store's quote, but I agree with it. Iams and Eukanuba anymore, they used to be kind of the state of the art when they came out, but they no longer are. Anyway, in addition, Procter & Gamble has a long history of animal testing that is both cruel and unnecessary. Yuck. It is the store's feeling that it would be a poor choice to continue to sell and promote their foods as they have no consideration for any animal's well-being. Their lack of accountability makes this decision easy, because they unconditionally guarantee all their foods. So, You can see that if a store is willing to put this in writing and put it out there and take them off the shelves, they have a real concern about the quality of these foods. And I do too. I mean, because the bottom line is, pretty much in all the history of dog foods, when a high-quality, all-natural food is bought out by a big corporate conglomerate, they cheapen the ingredients, and they just go down the tube. So take that for what it's worth. If you are presently feeding California Natural, Innova, or Evo, you may want to be transitioning your animals over to other choices. Okay. All right. In the follow-up world, now this is interesting. You know, we talked about I told you that the city of Seattle was going to change the laws and allow folks to have more chickens in the city, which was a great idea. But they also are allowing roosters, and apparently, I could see this one coming. A lot of people putting up a stink about that. I mean, because, you know, I don't know, Helen, you live out in the country. Mm-hmm. An unruly rooster can really be a nuisance.
Oh, yes.
And people get really mad. If you got a rooster waking you up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and you don't want to be getting up at 3 or 4 or 5 or whenever they're cock-a-doodle doing, it can cause a problem. So apparently the Seattle City Council is regrouping and they're considering banning roosters. in the urban agricultural legislation that's going through, which is probably a wise idea. But I know I love roosters, but and of course any roosters that exist in the city now would be grandfathered in. But just a warning that they're probably going to outlaw roosters, and I can understand that.
I like now, the sound of them, though.
Well, I do too. Now, and then one of the council members is saying, well, you know, there's already a noise ordinance in place. And so if a rooster really caused a problem, the city could probably use the noise ordinance to deal with it. So maybe that would be a better way. I don't know. But anyway, it looks like they're going to ban them. All right, Helen, this is right up your alley. This made me very sad. The mother wolf of our state's first confirmed pack of wolves in 70 years. You know, we have one pack in the state, and I'm sure you're aware of that. Well, the alpha female is missing, which the biologists don't know where she is and fear that at worst someone killed her. But there's also the possibility, because when they discovered this one pack of wolves that had come down into Washington State and set up over in the Okanagan National Forest area, they did trap the alpha male and female. They radio collared them, and the alpha male's collar still working well. The alpha female's collar stopped transmitting on May 12th. And I would assume, since they're saying she's missing, that no one's seen her since then. But they're hoping that maybe the collar just went kaput, other than the fact that they're supposed to last for 4 years. But let's hope that the radio collar just malfunctioned and that she's okay. But it would be disturbing if something's happened to her already. All right, in the news, boy. You can sure relate to this. Did you hear about the bear attack at Yellowstone this week?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it was a mother grizzly that ripped up some tents and killed one person. And it was a pretty harrowing experience for many. And then that particular bear has been captured, they think. They're doing the DNA testing now to make sure they got the right bear, and they're trying to trap the rest of her kids.
I think they killed the mother.
Did they? So the DNA test must have been confirmed.
Yes, it was, and they killed the mother, and they're sending the cubs to a zoo.
Oh, are they? Because they were going to euthanize the cubs, too, but I imagine there's been a lot of protest about that. Yeah. I mean, the theory being, at least the reports that I've heard, that obviously mom teaches the kids how to behave, and if they got a lesson in how to attack tents and kill people, they don't really want these kids growing up in the park.
Apparently they're quite young, and going to a zoo, they wouldn't have the opportunity to do that.
Right.
They'd probably outgrow that if it's in them at all, but what interests me is what caused it. Why? Is it because people have been throwing food to bears, or is it just one mother got really mad because there were humans around her babies?
Yeah, well, you know what I'm thinking, because I'm wondering the same things, and I have not had a chance to really go into a deep meditation and communication and find out what was really going on there. But with Sandy not coming in, next week was supposed to be a Sandy and Martha Sunday. We've got to do some follow-up with find out about 4th of July and missing pet partners. But so the next couple of weeks, I'm kind of fooling around with what we're going to do on the air, and I thought with this bear attack that what we've done in the past, like with the coyotes and with the elephants, I bring Robin Alexis on, who is, you know, a great communicator and mystic and psychic, and can get to the core issues relating to some of these horrific animal experiences. And I thought, well, I've got to talk to Robin because I don't know if she's available, but I might get her and Bob to tie in next week or the following week, and we can do a session with the bears and find out what the heck is going on.
Just one thing is, there are so many humans around now, and human population is on the increase, and bears and other animals, cougars and all these animals are being pushed away from their natural habitat, and it's going to cause trouble.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of bears in the news here, locally, on and off. There were more in the news this weekend, and I'm pleased in some respects in that we have really lightened up on how we handle bears coming in to the cities or, you know, suburbs, we are much more tolerant. We aren't so quick to react and try to trap them or kill them. And as long as they, like, there was a mom and a couple of babies wandering around somewhere here locally this week, I remember seeing them on the news, but they weren't going to do anything mm-hmm. with them because they weren't causing any problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we are as responsible, more so than the bears, for what's going on, because we're the ones that are taking away the habitat and then putting out the food and attracting them and then getting mad for them doing what bears do. So
I think human education is important, that people are informed more. The media can help thereby informing people about the habits of these animals and what they might expect and what to do if you see one, rather than panic and and think it's going to kill you. There can be other ways. And
well, apparently, you know, I saw the day of the attack. That evening, I'd flip in channels, put on Larry King, and Jack Hanna was on, you know, who's the animal guy. And apparently he was there. Him and friends or family were camping in that area and were around at the time. And so he was relating that their tents were not attacked. But he was right on top of the whole situation in keeping all of the humans in his party very calm mm-hmm. and quiet and not panicking mm-hmm. and quietly got them out of the area, and therefore they didn't become a target.
Mm-hmm.
And with the interview, there's an interview in the paper about the woman that was bit on the arm. And her interview is quite enlightening, because she said, you know, something woke her up, and then all of a sudden she felt, you know, the jaws and the teeth on her arm, and that she said she couldn't help it. She started screaming, she started fighting, and when she screamed, the bear bit down harder. So in her mind, she said, I've got to do something or I'm going to die. And she just remembered, oh, I should play dead. And so she went totally limp. And as soon as she did that, the bear let go mm-hmm. and left.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, but of course, then one of the other teenagers, the bear had him by the leg, and he punched the bear in the nose, and that bear and screamed, and the bear left. So hard to know. You kind of, if you got your heart open, listen to your heart and your gut, you'll feel your way through.
A good punch in the nose or gouge a thumb in the eye.
A thumb in the eye.
those sorts of things, if you can get there.
Yeah.
But I could imagine if somebody just screamed. It would be like predator victim.
Right, it triggers their predator instincts and the kill instincts, actually.
Yes.
That, as an animal behavior therapist, mm-hmm. myself, and working with domestic animals like dogs, that's one thing I have to teach parents, you know, with kids sometimes, is to teach the children how to behave around dogs they don't know. And if they become frightened or they're nervous, the worst thing they can do is scream, because that high-pitched scream can trigger, I believe, a latent genetic coding, mm-hmm. an instinct coding in a dog, and can trigger a bite or kill mm-hmm. instinct without the dog even really knowing what's going on. It's that particular pitch sound mm-hmm. that triggers it. So
if it brings out that predator in them, which is natural.
Okay. Oh, and this just disturbs me. Why on earth? Wildlife officers seeking seagull shooters over on the coast, the north coast. Apparently some people, some guys, putting hot dogs out on the beach and attracting seagulls and then having target practice and killing them. Federal offense, folks, not a good thing to do. This could have gone in follow-up. I just kind of threw it in there just so we might appreciate what we have here, which is not the abundance of bed bugs that they have in New York. We talk about bed bugs once in a while. Oh my, everything's reminding me of Sandy today. I mean, this is one of Sandy's things, or bed bugs. Anyway, New York is developing a bed bug battle plan. It's so bad in New York. One of every 15 New Yorkers battled bed bugs last year. One in 15. And so they're starting a public awareness campaign and have hired an entomologist to create a program. But the bed bugs have been found in, not, you know, usually you think of them in hotels or motels, but now they're in theaters, they're in clothing stores, office buildings, housing projects, and even posh apartments. So there you go. good reason to live here. Hmm?
Yes.
Okay, so that's about, we're about done, that's done with the news, and that just leaves us with, and I think we'll postpone taking care of our advertisers and sponsors so that we can focus on Helen and Bill when we continue. So let's get right to it and do the best good news about animals. We need it today. Come on, sunshine, come out. We need it for the Bark of Seattle at the Seattle Center. Yes, it does. And it's actually probably good that it's cooler and a little bit overcast would be good for the dogs at the Seattle Center. All right, in the best good news, well, I had to reach this week a bit. Once again, let's see. This has to do with the Gulf oil spill again. And I just thought this was a bit of good news. I mean, things are looking up down there. They are cleaning the habitat, not as quickly as I think we would all like, but improvement is happening. But this is kind of a neat story. Farmers near the Gulf are helping the bird migration. That was one of the things I was concerned about, all the birds that are due to go through that area. So this is, farmers are, this one guy is turning his rice and crawfish fields. Do you know what a crawfish field? Do they grow crawfish in fields? I mean, I thought, aren't crawfish like, they're like little shrimp-like things.
You can imagine these crawfish.
Does anybody know anything about crawfish? But they're talking about turning crawfish fields into wetlands, rice and crawfish fields. Do you go out in a field and pick crawfish? I mean, this just a concept. I mean, well, that's not the good news, but when I read it again, it kind of threw me. It threw me the first time I read it. And you guys are all looking at me with like just... No, you don't know of a, okay.
Perhaps it could have been worded a little differently.
Well, Emma, there's several times in the article, crawfish fields. So I don't know, do they grow on bushes? I didn't think so.
Little sprouts.
Okay. Well,
the
anyway,
ground.
They're turning rice and crawfish fields into wetlands for the migratory birds who usually come to the Gulf of Mexico for their wintering grounds. And, of course, they're threatened now because of the oil spill. Now, this is across 8 states. And let's see, Texas, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama, and a few others in there to make 7, are updating their fallow fields to provide an alternative for some of the tens of millions of ducks, geese, and shorebirds that are beginning to make their way south on a flyway that stretches as far north as Alaska and Iceland. This one particular farm is devoting 762 acres, about 90 miles inland from the coast, in hope that the birds will stop there instead of landing at the coast when they'll be up to their, you know, rear ends in oil. About 15 million ducks and geese migrate annually to those states. So there's a lot. So anyway, the government is apparently paying, maybe it sounds like it ought to be BP, that is paying these farmers according to the amount of land that they designate for wetlands. So hopefully it's a win-win for everybody and that the birds will go to the right place. And then the second entry in today's best good news about animals from the Humane Society in Factoria, right across the I-90 from us, they announced this week that they have performed their 500th free pit bull spay and neuter surgery this year. And that's because Seattle Humane and the PetSmart charities joined forces to provide free spay and neuter surgeries to pit bulls and pit bull mixes in King County. And they still, they hope to do another 250. They want to do 750 altogether. So if you know anybody that has a pit bull or pit bull mix that can't afford to have the spayed or neutered, it can be done for free at the Humane Society. And they've done 500 already this year. That's really good. And then the best good news about animals today is Posado's Bark of Seattle at the Seattle Center, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. today at the Seattle Center. So hopefully you can make it on down. All righty then, that wraps up news for today, and we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the first time in this hour, and, well, the only time in this hour. I put everything together so we have more time to talk to Helen and Bill, and then we will get in to our subject of the day, which, of course, is all the wonderful stories and everything that's going on in Helen and Bill's life. So I'll be telling you all about them when we get back. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all-whole-natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it, mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, and a little cool water to mix it up, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, and the fiber. The Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a Missing Link formula for dogs. There's one for cats. There's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters as well, like rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, and the like. There is a bird formula and a horse formula, and a Missing Link Plus formula with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support, and that comes in a dog and horse formula. Now, please ask for The Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or you can go directly to Designing Health. You can give them a call at 1-800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387. Or visit them online. And since today is usually Vet Sunday, but we're doing a special edition with Helen and Bill instead because all our vets are on vacation, you can go to the Designing Health website because they have a free Ask the Vet contact, and they do respond. They have two vets that respond. So www.designinghealth.com. Check them out.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage.
Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including three distinct certification courses in animal massage. Short workshops in animal massage and other related topics are also available.
For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703. Go online to nwsam.com for registration details.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium, and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels, and she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, and you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
Dogs and cats can experience bad breath, gas, and intestinal discomfort even with a healthy diet. OptiGest is a complete formula of four plant-based enzymes and is the food for the healthy bacteria which supports the natural balance that can be upset by diet change, travel or separation, or the normal aging process. OptiGest has no inactive ingredients or fillers. OptiGest's natural formula supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Go to inclover.com/optigest for more information.
The latest must-have for dog owners is a custom-made Breeze Guard, a powder-coated welded wire mesh screen that quickly and easily fits into your car's windows. Breeze Guards keeps your dog in the car with the windows open, keeps strangers' hands out of the vehicle, and gives you peace of mind that your dog is safe and happy in your car, parked or moving. Go to muttmanagers.com for complete product details and information on ordering Breeze Guards. Your dog will love you for this. Check out muttmanagers.com.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? The choice is clear. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all. Martha Norwalk. I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. Hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, for any of you regulars that are saying, what the heck, it's the first Sunday of August. What's happened to Vet Sunday? Well, traditionally here, the first Sunday of the month is Vet Sunday. But, you know, it's August, and all of our vets are on vacation. So I kind of asked Spirit. I said, well, what am I going to do on the 1st of August? And so I just trust the process and wait. Next phone call, guess who it was? It was Helen Thayer. And, of course, Helen and Bill are our absolute all-time favorite and most popular guests here on Animal World. And they happen to be in town and be available this Sunday. And so here they are. And I'm delighted. We're going to deviate from our talk at some point and chat, because I, for the first time in all of the years that I've known Helen and Bill and they've been doing the show, I actually got to go see them and visit them at their wonderful farm out in Snohomish this week, and we'll talk about that. But first I want to tell you about Helen and Bill. They've been doing the show for so many years that I sometimes take it for granted and assume that y'all know everything that I know. But I know that we always have new listeners, and we have a bunch of new listeners right now because we have Scotty Catman Guy. Cat Run Guy. Scotty Robertson is here, and Scotty's not heard you guys before and doesn't know who y'all are. And he's got a lot of his friends listening. So at least we know we have the Scotty contingency now that hasn't heard a show with Helen and Bill. So this always blows me away too. So here I want to share some things with you, and mind you, a complete list of Helen and Bill's accomplishments would probably take could fill a whole book, because Helen, you've written three books about three of your different adventures. Mm-hmm. So all of them together, I mean, who knows? You'd have to write an encyclopedia or something. At any rate, listen to this list, and this is not a complete list. This is just the highlights of what they've done. In 1988, Helen was the first woman to solo any of the world's poles when she walked alone to the magnetic North Pole, pulling her own sled, unresupplied, without the help of dog teams or snowmobiles. Helen was 50 years old. Blows me away. The best-selling book, Polar Dream, is all about that. And I'll tell you, you'll be on the edge of your seat reading that. We'll talk about more details. Now, in 1990, she was the American leader of the first Russian-USA women's Arctic expedition to Siberia and Soviet polar islands. Wow. 1992, Helen and Bill Thayer were the first married couple to walk to any of the world's poles. They traveled on foot, pulling their own sleds without any resupply to the magnetic North Pole. Bill was the oldest person at 65 to walk to the pole, pulling his own sled without resupply. Wow. Okay, 1994. Helen and Bill spent over 1 year with Charlie, their canine companion of magnetic North Pole fame, in the Canadian Yukon and in the Northwest Territories, studying and photographing three families of wild wolves at their den site, hunting range, and on the sea ice. That remarkable story, I love that book. I cried at the end of that book for one reason, just because the book was over. That's Three Among the Wolves. Fabulous, fabulous book. 1995, they walked 1,500 miles through Death Valley, the Mojave, and the American and Mexican Sonora deserts in a study of high and low altitude deserts. In 1996, Helen was the first woman to walk across the Sahara Desert following an ancient camel trade route of 4,000 miles. For heaven's sakes, you just really like to torture yourselves. 1997, Helen walked alone for 450 miles in Antarctica, pulling her own 250-pound sled, unresupplied. During the expedition, get this, she celebrated her 60th birthday alone on the polar ice cap with a frozen cupcake and one candle. Imagine. She had no radio or voice contact with the outside world. She was the only living being in the area that she traveled. And you're the quote at the time, Ellen, you said it was like living on the moon.
It was.
I cannot. Can you imagine being at the bottom of the world, the bottom of the earth, all by the only living thing there, 60 years old, having a, I just... Oh, man. Okay. Now, then in 1998, with Bill, they trekked with the largest caribou herd in the world of 500,000 animals as they followed their centuries-old tradition of migrating from their wintering grounds in southern Alaska to the North Slope calving grounds. The Thayers walked 600 miles, documenting the entire migration for education and scientific programs. They walked with the herd across the vast tundra plains, across the windswept Brooks Range, the most northern mountain range in the world, to the frigid North Slope of Alaska. Now, Helen, is that the caribou trek through the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge?
Yes. Well, yes, they eventually end up there, yes.
Okay.
To have their calves.
All righty. Then in 1999, they walked 1,200 miles through New Zealand studying the Maori culture. In the year 2000, the first non-Indians to kayak 1,200 miles along two rivers in a remote area of the Amazon rainforest. They lived with indigenous Indians and explored an area seldom seen by outsiders. It was a study of a rainforest's original inhabitants. Now, was that the trek you got shot at?
Yes, at one point.
Was that the killer bees and you had to jump into the Amazon full of piranhas?
Well, those exciting events took place.
Oh, man. Man, I just get goofy. Listen, okay. In 2000, they trekked 400 miles from the northern Canadian Yukon territories to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska to document, this is the one, to document the annual migration of the 240,000 caribous of the porcupine herd to their wintering grounds. And you studied there and worked with the indigenous people as well. And then in 2001, the first to trek on foot across the entire length of the Mongolian Gobi Desert, west to East Helen, or to east, and Helen was 63 and Bill was 74. The entire length of the Mongolian Desert they walked. They trekked a distance of 1,600 miles. They suffered through 126-degree heat, sandstorms, life-threatening thirst, and scorpions as they walked the longest route across the desert west to east on a journey of true discovery to share the nomadic lifestyle of desert nomads who have lived in the Gobi for hundreds of years and still follow the ancient lifestyle of their ancestors. Now, and then there's a whole list of awards and so forth that Helen has achieved, one of which Helen has been named one of the great explorers of the 20th century by National Geographic. I mean, that's huge. Man. All right, Helen and Bill, welcome back to Animal World.
Thank you.
It's unbelievable. And then, of course, that was just up to 2001.
You've
been all over the planet since then.
Yes, we've been back to the Amazon, kayaked another 1,000 miles to document the climate change there that's going on, because it's quite profound. And then we've been to Africa. Actually, we've been to Africa three times, three times in 1 year. We were there last November, last February, and now again next November.
Is that the next trip that's planned? Is
yes.
Back to Africa for
yes,
the third
we're
time?
We're actually studying worldwide remote tribes, endangered tribes who've been there for centuries but are now having problems. And this is going under the heading of Enduring Cultures in Adventure Classroom. And the reason we do all of these expeditions to various places in the world is to create educational programs for Adventure Classroom for kids K through 12. So among many things, we encourage the kids to set goals, plan for success, never give up on themselves, just be persistent and solve the problems along the way, but also to instill intercultural respect. If we want respect for our culture, we must respect other cultures.
Absolutely.
That kid in the middle of the Gobi Desert will never see the inside of a school as we know it. They have a schooling that we have no access to. Those kids can do things that we can't do.
And you're quite amazing when you go into these areas like Africa. You don't stay in the tourist section.
No.
You go out in the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of the deserts, and you actually live with these people.
Yes, we have to. In order to bring back the information, we have to go into where they're still living the old lifestyle and actually live with them. We throw away our Western ways. And we go in because we have nothing to teach them. They have everything to teach us. So we go in just to learn and to bring back all the photography and the information that we can and then add it to Adventure Classroom. And we have a website, Adventure Classroom, and we're in the process of updating that now. Our webmaster is doing a really good job of upgrading the whole website.
Yeah, and so, folks, if you want to check out more about Helen and Bill and the Adventure Classroom, because this makes all of what Helen and Bill have experienced and learned over all these years available to you and your children. And so the website is www.helenthayer, very simple, Helen Thayer, thayer.com. And you can check out the Adventure Classroom and
yes,
so forth.
You can click onto Adventure Classroom from my personal website. You can go right to Adventure Classroom and pick up on all of the educational part of what we do.
So they can, so through your website, people and the Adventure Classroom, they can contact you and hire you to come and do.
That's right.
An Adventure Classroom. Is it a one-time visit? Is it a series? Or
no, I speak to all groups, corporate America, nonprofits, clubs, and schools, and colleges, and so I speak to a wide spectrum of people and groups. And all they have to do is just email me through my website.
Mm-hmm.
And
then what, you create a program specific to the group that you're going to be addressing?
Yes, I actually have four more programs now from various parts of the world. My solo walk to the Magnetic North Pole when I was 50 years old, that's my signature program.
Yeah.
And that's the most requested. But I'm asked for all programs. And sometimes I'll go to a group and they'll have me year after year as I get through my programs. And, of course, by the time I've finished those four, I have another one coming up because I'm actually developing a new program, Walking Africa, right now.
All right. And so if you want your business, your group, your classroom, your kids inspired, there isn't anyone better on the planet to do it than Helen. I mean, just to give you an idea how tough this woman is. I mean, how long was the trek to the North Pole, the Polar Dream, when you, at 50, when you walked to the North Pole? How many days did that take you?
It was about a month.
About a month she was out there. Now, get this. If I remember correctly, now at the last minute, you ended up buying Charlie, the wolf dog, to go with you.
Yes.
But then in that, wasn't it the first day you were out, you made a huge mistake. And you ended up getting frostbitten, both fingers on both hands.
Yeah, nine fingers were badly frostbitten.
Yeah, now this is in the first 24 hours, Scotty. She's out now. She's up there at the magnetic, you know, up in the North Pole, all by herself with Charlie. And she messes up the detail and gets horrible frostbite on nine of her fingers. And with the skin came off her fingers. All right? Now, if that was hello, I'd be bailing right there. Well, I wouldn't be doing it in the first place. But I'll tell you what. Did she bail? No. She just pulled up her big girl pants and gritted right through it. And putting your gloves on, doing that. And then she did that month. I can't imagine doing it with good hands, but having no skin on nine of your hands.
Well,
fingers?
I looked at my fingers and I knew I was able to get some circulation back, and I figured they're not dead. And so there is hope here, so there's no point panicking over this. they will eventually recover, hopefully. And so I simply put on a pair of liner gloves. I figured now if I ignore them, then it'll all just go away. So that's what I did. I just simply ignored them.
Unbelievable. Now, I don't know if you remember way back when, the first show that you did on Animal World was back in my Como days. This was years and years ago, and it was right after your first book, Polar Dream, was published. So I had, you know, I had the book, and I had read it, but I hadn't met you yet. And so you and Bill, and you brought Charlie. We had Charlie on Animal World. Well, you came into the studio, so do you remember? I don't think I said anything else to you when, you know, I introduced myself. I just grabbed your hands, and I said, I want to see your hands. Show me those hands.
Yeah, everybody wants to see my hands. Yeah. I still got fingers.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure that's what every that's have read the book. So anyway, folks, if you want to read the best books of your life, they're absolutely three of my all-time favorite books. They're the kind of books that you read over and over again. The first book is Polar Dream by Helen Thayer. The second book is The Three Among the Wolves. And that's the one that had me crying my eyes out at the end of that book. Not only because you and Bill and Charlie had become part of the wolf family, and so I was crying because of the I guess it was Charlie having to separate from the wolves.
It was very difficult for us to leave the wolf family because we were leaving family members. We felt as though we were leaving family members because we had gained such a close understanding and relationship. We didn't turn them into pets. We weren't petting them or anything like that, but it's just the across the line friendship and understanding and what we had learned about these wonderful animals.
So it was heart-wrenching when you had you left, and that had me crying. But then when I realized I was crying, and I had, you know, I kind of asked myself, why am I so upset? I was like, because it's over. I don't want the book to be over. I want to hear more. So it's that kind of book that you just, you don't want it to end. And then your third book is Walking the Gobi, and that's the story of you and Bill making that horrendous trek all across the Gobi Desert.
1,600 miles in 81 days, and just the two of us. And we led, each led one camel. We had two camels.
Yeah, you
and Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry, the camels you had. And that, of course, when they do a trek like this, and we'll talk more details, they have to get permission from the government to do it. Well, the government, you had to really fight. They argued with you for a long time. They didn't want to let them do that because they figured that, well, they would die. And they didn't want to be responsible for two old Americans dying in the middle of the Gobi Desert.
Well, so many people, a number of people had actually died in the Gobi thirst and so forth, and they couldn't see that two people, white people from another country and of our age could possibly make it. But we managed to convince them that our age was a huge advantage because of our experience and the desert treks that we had done before, the Sahara and the American deserts and so forth. So then finally, I think we were able to gain their permission because they just wanted to get rid of us because we wouldn't go away.
Well, what you need to know, folks, is that the government was almost right because you came within a hair's breadth of being of not having, because you had an accident with the water and all of that, and then they also inadvertently chasing one Tom or Jerry, who was it that crossed over to China and wasn't supposed to, and almost got him shot as thieves. So anyway, we're going to close out this first hour of Animal World, but Helen and Bill Thayer are my guests for the rest of the show, and we would love to have your involvement today. We don't often open the phone lines when Helen and Bill are here, but Scotty's here and he needs something to do, so he'd love to chat with you. And if you have a question for Helen and Bill, you want to know about something specifically, call us. If you don't want to come on the air, you can tell Scotty and he'll ask for you, or you can come on the air and chat with him yourself, or send us an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. When we continue, I'm going to take you back. And because the story, not only are Helen and Bill great adventure travelers and bringing us all these fabulous stories, but they also have a wonderful love story. And so I'm going to take you back and tell you how you met. And Bill, I mean, he probably came close to getting himself shot, you know.
Yeah.
So tell you about how he captured Helen's heart way back when. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about the highlights of their trips and journeys and where they're headed, and then we'll also talk about my visit to their farm this last week and what we were doing. So stay with us. We've got lots to talk about today, and we'd love to hear from you. Local number, 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569, and you can shoot us an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. We're here till noon. Stay with us right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour, Martha Norwalk.